You to take your Bibles and go back with me to Colossians chapter 3 this evening. Colossians 3, we started looking into verse 16 this morning. We'll finish out the last little bit of that verse and make our way through verse 17 this evening as well. Began this morning just reminding you of how impactful music can be, using the illustration of a nursing home and people whose minds aren't necessarily all still there, being able to join in and sing along. And even afterwards, as many of you have tracked and seen as well, one of you was talking to me even how that story is true in Ron Hamilton's life. Someone who's written songs that we sing, that we enjoy, that remind us of wonderful spiritual truth. And as he walks through dementia and Shelley, his wife, cares for him to go, here are songs that he can sing, that he's written, that he doesn't necessarily know he's written, but he knows the words of the song and continues to sing them. What a wonderful way for the word of Christ to have so dwelt in your life that it's come out through his pen and continues to come out of his mouth, even though he doesn't necessarily know that came from me. You know, again, we could go to all sorts of different ways in which music just helps us on a very simple, practical level. My mind was thinking this week of even some of the things that I've learned through life by means of a song. We sing the alphabet, right? And we go, hey, I learned my letters by singing a song. I remember telling my kids at one point, I learned the presidents by singing a song. And I'm not sure how like the last few presidents fit into that song since I learned how to sing that song. If you know, you can fill my kids in as to how to finish the last little bit. But we use songs to teach all kinds of truth. And the text, certainly there in verse 16, as we come back to it, reminds us of the importance of singing. And yet, what I want to emphasize one more time for us tonight is that singing is really the result. What we're looking at does impact our music. It does impact our singing. We'll touch on that even more again tonight. But it is the result of our time in the Word and the Word in us. And it's also the result of our worship of God. And that worship of God is, yes, going to come out in song. It should come out in song, but it ought to come out in all of life as well. And I hope as we kind of finish out our day today, you are driven to go, you know what? I want to be in the Word and have the Word in me. And secondly, I want to praise God, whether that comes out in song or in word, or indeed in every part of life. By way of quick review, this morning we looked at this command focused on the word in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly. Let God's word be at home in your life where there is plenty there. We said coming out of that by way of application to our singing that our singing should be word-saturated or word-centered. We went from that this morning to begin looking at the characteristics that follow in wisdom. If we're obeying this command that's focused on the word, these characteristics that display wisdom come out, and we started into the first two characteristic activities, one being teaching, this positive instruction of truth, the other being admonishing, this preventative caution through encouragement. Coming out of those two, we made a second application saying we ought to let our singing be others-oriented. We live in such a self-oriented culture, a self-oriented world that so often is, what do I think about this and how does this make me feel? And the focus of the text here is do this for one another and do this for God. Tonight we come to the third verbal characteristic, if you will, that results from this focus on the word. It is there in the text saying, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. As the word of Christ dwells in us richly, we're teaching, we're admonishing one another in these different kinds of songs, but this third characteristic comes down to what we've made application to, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We'll call this third characteristic a grateful communication of praise, a grateful communication of praise. The action is clear. It's present tense. It is to be singing. It's the right response to the word of Christ dwelling in us. I was thinking this afternoon, I grew up with two younger sisters in our home, and it was a fairly common occurrence that musicals would be watched and observed. I feel like I have been permanently warped in life as a result. I'm not sure I've watched any of those musicals in 2 decades, and yet I can still sing words of the songs of some of those, having like been very little interested, like rather disinterested in what was going on. Those words are there. You know, far more importantly, when we come to the text here, it's saying, let the word so be in you that the natural response, like in a musical, it's like, we went to the store, and because we went to the store, we're going to start singing. Who does that? Right? Try it. Like, you know, just act, go through tomorrow like you're in a musical. Everybody around you is going to think you're strange. But rightly understand that the text of Scripture here is telling us that when the word of Christ is dwelling in us, the ongoing, natural, expected, right response should be that we sing, whether we're musically oriented or not. It just ought to be the result of saying, God, I have to praise you. Here's a way to package the truth that you've impacted me with from your word. So I want to sing your praises. I love the song that Pastor Gingrich chose as we ended. Very familiar one, right? And How Great Thou Art, number 37. To begin to say, okay, let's think about God's work in creation. Let's think about God's work in salvation. But then as we think about those things, in essence, as the word of Christ is dwelling in us, then sings my soul. What a fitting application for what the text is telling us here. To say, as the word of Christ is dwelling in us, this grateful communication of praise is just going to come out. It's not based on our feelings at the time. It's not presented as occasional or optional. It's just the expected response of what happens when God's word is in us. Again, it's present tense, meaning this is regular, it's habitual, it's ongoing as we walk through life. Beyond the action, notice the expression that it's communicated with, as it says, with grace. This takes us beyond the activity to the attitude that drives it, if you will. Translations handle this differently because there's two aspects that are in view to this word. One is the reception of God's divine favor or enablement to us. To go, you know what? I'm singing because God has given me grace. His grace is working in my life. But beyond just the reception of that divine favor, it also touches on our response to that divine favor. In other words, when we have knowingly received God's grace, there's only one right response, and that's to turn around and acknowledge Him for that grace. So it's two sides of the same coin, if you will. To go, I have been a recipient of grace, but my response is marked by gratitude. I've been a recipient of grace, but my response is marked by gratitude because of what God has done. I want to be driven to praise Him. I am grateful and thankful, and I'm going to express that in song. Again, we could go to psalm after psalm after psalm as the psalmist finds himself in all these different walks of life, saying, you know what, I'm directing my thought to God, to His grace, to His enablement, to His goodness in the past, to His trustworthiness and character in the present, and my response is to sing in praise to God, to call others to sing in praise to God with song. It's not simply to be the result of circumstances, right? The text here does not say, let your circumstances be so God-driven that you turn and sing. Our singing is the result of the word dwelling in us, regardless of our circumstances. And it points, the tune of that song, if you will, the words of that song may sound very different because we're walking through challenging times or we're walking through exceedingly blessed times. But the right response of the word is to sing. And again, you go to the Psalms, and there's some songs like, so what would this song look like, Psalm 13? What would this look like if we came in and sang Psalm 13? It would have to be in a minor key. Or Psalm 142. Like, I looked on my right hand, there was no one. Refuge has failed my soul. God, would you bring me out of prison? Like, that's where the song ends. Pick that one in favorites time next week. But it is a heart saying, you know what? I'm struggling, but I'm focusing on God. For us, His word is dwelling in me. And so I am turning to him, asking him for his grace, grateful for what he's done, but trying to praise him in the midst of whatever life has. Beyond the action and the expression, notice third and briefly the emotion. He says, in your hearts. Singing with grace in your hearts. I find this one, again, helpful and instructive personally, hopefully for us as a church as well, because it is so easy. I'll pray this way. I'll tell you this Sunday after Sunday when we come in, but it is so easy to come in and go, it's external ritual. It's what we do. Pastor Gingery just said, open your hymnals to 232 or whatever the song is, and you open them and you start to sing, and it's like the robot kicks in and you're not even thinking about what you're singing because the words are so familiar, you don't really even need the hymnal, and we're not intentional about what we've gathered to do. When we do that, we are failing this command. It's not about the word of Christ. It's not about the grace of God operating in my heart, overflowing with gratitude back to him. It's just doing what I do. It's rather pointless. It's rather purposeless in that moment. And this reminds us that this is not simply to be an external ritual. It's to point to an internal reality where God has so worked in my heart. I'm like, I want to sing. I want to praise him. I want to call others to do the same. I want them to focus and go, you know what? I'd rather have Jesus, as we sang together tonight. To go, because it's true in my heart. God's met me there. Now, I well realize myself and yourself, like I'm not any different than you just because I have to stand up here and talk from God's word every week. That there are weeks where you walk in, I walk in, and it's like, I'm not there. Right? You're not. And you're going, God, I need you to work on my heart. God, I need your grace to be present in my life. God, I need you to push aside the selfishness, the sin. God, I need you to work on me so that I can sing with grace in my heart. Not just sing with duty because everyone's here. The emotion is important that we don't simply do the right thing on the outside without the truth on the inside. I think of passages like what we see in 1 Samuel 16 or Isaiah chapter 1 as two examples. We could go to many. Where in the Old Testament, God very poignantly indicts his people and says, I've had enough of your sacrifices. Don't bring me anymore. I'm done. I want your heart. You see, they were going through the motions. They were following what they should do. And God says, that's not my concern. Don't bring me any more of those. I want your heart. And that ought to be true for us as we gather to worship, where it's like, you know what? God's word has been in me. I've been in the word, and it's so impacted me, and I see God's grace so clearly in my life that I'm so grateful for what he's done. I just want to sing his praises to those around me. By way of third application to our singing, we've talked about it being word-saturated and others-oriented. Third, very simply and clearly in the text, our singing ought to be heart-motivated. Heart-motivated to go, you know what, it's driven inside. As much as we can, we don't want to simply show up at church and go through the motions with our heart disconnected to it. I was thinking of the song, I can't remember its title now, I looked it up a few moments ago. Might be Come Christian, no, we sang that one. It's in the supplement. It's like, no, it's not. It's in the blue book, like 26, 27. Sorry, it's what happens when my brain doesn't work on the moment. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. There we go. I knew he'd know. Come we that love the Lord, okay? To go, you know what? Hey, if their mind isn't focused on God, they shouldn't sing. And there's times where it's like, you know what? I'm not there. Maybe I shouldn't, but I need to get there. To go, God's word is so dwelt in me, my heart is so impacted, God's grace is so present that my singing is just driven from the inside out. Beyond the action, the expression, and the emotion, notice the direction. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. To the Lord. To say, what I am doing, yes, it teaches and admonishes one another. It's others-oriented. But now we're pointed to the ultimate direction, if you will, to say, the reason I'm singing with grace, the reason I have this gratitude for God's enablement is for Him. So I'm directing my praise to Him. I'm instructing others about Him. I'm encouraging others to change their style, their life, to warn them against certain things, to go, it's all about Him. I want to point people to the Lord. I want to point myself to the Lord. Ultimately, that's where all praise has to end. Go, God, you've given me some wonderful people in my life. God, you've given gifts in my life. But God, at the end of the day, I want to praise you because you are the giver of all that is good. You are the one who is at work in my life. In fact, I would remind you, it is the song of eternity. Whether you go to Revelation 4, Revelation 5, or Revelation 6, or Revelation 7, over and over as we're lifted both into the throne room of heaven and into the, even in that beyond the events of the tribulation to go, you know why? There's praise is because God is worthy of that praise. People from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation gathered together to sing His worthiness, to sing His praise, to exalt Him. For us now, we sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, to direct our praise to Him. And so our fourth and final application when it comes to singing, saying it's supposed to be word-saturated, others-oriented, heart-motivated, is to say it's supposed to be God-exalting. God-exalting. That's why I want to sing. We spent a lot of time both this morning and now tonight saying, here's a command that's focused on the Word. Here's the characteristics that follow in wisdom. But third, we want to come to a command that's focused on worship. And when I say worship, again, I'm talking more broadly than singing because that's where the verse goes. We understand that we were created to worship God. Revelation 4, again, verse 11 makes that clear. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. To say, this is why I'm here, is to worship Him. It's that doxology, again, that Romans 11:36 says so well. Everything is of Him. It's through Him. It's to Him. To whom be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So we come to Colossians 3:17, and we have this very general statement made. And, connecting it to what has come before, whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Lest again, we get so zeroed in on like, okay, well, here's what we're supposed to be doing singing. The Spirit of God through Paul tells the Colossians and us, and everything that you do, whether it's words or deeds, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and be grateful to God. Give gratitude to Him. So we briefly consider this command focused on worship, just a few simple thoughts. One, it is universal. We might say comprehensive. It says, whatsoever you do, it's whether you do it or you say it, whether it's word or deed, all of it is going to be focused on giving glory to God, enabled by Him and exalting Him. We think of maybe the more familiar words, at least more familiar in my mind, to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, where they're going through that issue of, hey, are you eating meat to offer to idols? Are you not eating meat to offer to idols? And he's like, hey, whether therefore you eat or you drink, whatever you do, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Something as simple as going, okay, here's, I'm eating this and my conscience says it's okay, I'm drinking this. It's like, whatever you do, do this for God's glory. Here we've come through a section saying, and as you sing, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, but also, whatever you're doing in word or in deed is to be done for Him. Again, it's a very simple reminder, but perhaps needed as we head into another week to go, hey, if you're going to work tomorrow, everything you do. By the way, the one that stands out to me, and I'll just say it now, have it in the notes for a minute, but we'll say it now. How about word? Like, what if you go through tomorrow and go, every word is to bring glory to Him? It might change some conversations, right? To go, I want every word that comes out of my mouth, whether it's with my coworkers, whether it's with my neighbors, whether it's with the person at the store, whether it's with my family, whether it's with my children, whether it's with my spouse, whoever it might be, I want every word word to exalt his name. He says, whatever you do, whatever you say. And again, where he's going to go in just a moment, Pastor Gingrich will touch on some of this next Sunday as well, but to go, hey, let's talk about home life for a little bit. Let's talk about wives to husbands, husbands to wives. Let's talk about children to parents. Down the road, let's talk about servants to masters. He's going to come back to what we have to say in chapter 4 as well. And he's going to begin to very practically touch on, here's what this looks like in life. So for us, let's head into the week going, okay, every deed, every word, because the word is so saturated in me, I want it to be for his praise. It's universal in scope. Secondly, it's purposeful. This command is not just universal, it's purposeful. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We do it because of him, but we also do it for him. Very similar to what we looked at a moment ago, saying singing with grace. Say, do all in the name. Because of the work that he has done in me, I'm this new creature. This old man has been put off, as we saw in 3, 9 through 11. This new man has been put on. So I am created, I'm being renewed after the image of him that created me. Because of his name, yes, I do it. But I do it because of him and for him. Enabled by him and exalting him, we might say. It's our identity. We talk about being Christians or little Christ to go, I want to point others to him, to his name. I've asked you a number of times in our Wednesday night series, sometimes in Colossians, but it comes down to that simple question, why? Why do you do what you do? Why'd you come today? You know what? It's about him. It's about pointing others to him. It's about pointing myself to him. It's for his name. Why am I going to go to work and try to do the best job that I can? It's for his name. Colossians 3, verse 23, those familiar words make that clear. Why am I going to walk into my home and do the best that I can to love my spouse or to arrange myself under a husband's leadership? Why am I going to do that? Because it's about him. It's about his name. It's not simply, well, you know, if I follow the Bible, then maybe I'll just have the best marriage and it'll be okay and it'll be good for me. Nope, we're falling short of the goal. The goal is living for his name, doing it according to his name as Lord, the one who's master, and Jesus, the one who's Savior. What are the reasons for my words? It's for his name. So we look at this command for worship. I'd remind you, it's not just universal speaking to everything. It's not just purposeful speaking to our exalting. But third, it's grateful. It's grateful. I feel like a broken record on this one, I'll admit that. Maybe you feel that way too. But I also have to believe that it's what God has for us and the challenge that we need. Because over and over and over again in Colossians, God has said, and be thankful. And be thankful. So we come to the end of the familiar words of verse 17 as we have this command to worship. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Saying, as you live this out, do it with gratitude for what God has done for you in Christ. You can look at God as your Father. This incredibly special relationship through Christ. So live for his glory, but do it with a sense of deep gratitude for what he has done. If you remember with me back in Colossians chapter 1, and I think it was just last Sunday I reviewed these with you because the text had it last Sunday, but we're going to review them again. Colossians 1, as Paul prays for these believers, he starts, and again, he hasn't met them, but he starts praying in verse 9, for this cause I bow my knees, and he begins to pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that they would walk worthy of his calling. And the last characteristic of walking worthy that he prays for is found in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father because of what he has done. He's made us meet or sufficient to be partakers of his inheritance. To go, you know what, I'm praying for you, and part of what I'm praying is that you would be grateful people, that you would give thanks for what God has done. We came to chapter 2, and we came to particularly verse 7, where he said in verse 6, as you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. And we began looking, there are four characteristics that fall out of what it means to walk in Him. And the first three are things that God actually does for us. They're passive. So we are rooted in Him. That's something God does. That's not something we fix ourselves in Him. He roots us in Him. He builds us up in Him. That's His action. He establishes us in the faith as we've been taught. Those are all things He does. And then He turns the coin on the last one and says, now here's something that's not passive, it's active. Something we do, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So chapter one, we walk worthy, and part of that is giving thanks to the Father. Chapter two, we walk in Jesus Christ, and if we're going to walk in Christ, we are abounding. It sounds a little bit like dwelling richly, right? Like not just, okay, yeah, I got gratitude occasionally. We're abounding therein with thanksgiving. We came to chapter three. We've seen it in chapter one. We've seen it in chapter two. We came to chapter three last week, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. This gratitude is just supposed to be there. Which, by the way, I've enjoyed as we've come together the last several Wednesday nights, and I've asked that question over and over again. How have you seen God at work in your life? And more people have been said, you know what? God's done this. God's done that. It's gratitude for here's what God is doing. It's so easy for some of us, maybe not you, but some of us to be that Eeyore. Go, here's the problems. Here's the challenge. Here's the next mole popping up that I just got to whack. Here's the next nail that needs to be hit with a hammer. Instead of going, you know what? God, thank you. You've been so good. You've been so good. I think it was early on in our study that I asked you that question that kind of floats around on the internet, and maybe it's helpful, maybe it's not, but to say, hey, if you woke up tomorrow with the things that you thank God for today, what would you have? But you see, this theme, chapter 1, chapter 2, last week in chapter 3, verse 15, now we're only two verses later, chapter 3, verse 17, and you hit it again. We hit it again. To go giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Be a grateful people. That's part of worship. To see God's good gifts, to praise Him and to give thanks to Him. So we wrap up from today. Let me remind you, there's this command focused on the Word. So be in it and let it be in you abundantly. Coming out of that, there's these characteristics that follow in wisdom. And part of that is we sing. We sing. To praise God, we sing. But then third, we came to this command tonight that's focused on worship, where everything is done with gratitude for His glory's sake. So we head into the week to give glory to God, be in the Word, sing His praises, and give Him glory in word and deed with gratitude. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this clear, simple text of Scripture that You've challenged my life with, and I trust You've challenged each believer here. Lord, I pray that we'd be in the Word, letting Your Word impact our thinking, impact our hearts, impact our living. Lord, I pray that we'd also be motivated then to sing Your praises and to worship You in every part of life, not just in what we sing, but the things that we do, the words that we say. And then, Lord, that we would be grateful for Your good work in our lives. Lord, You have done so much for us. You give us sufficient daily grace. And so, Lord, we are grateful. We do praise You. It's in Jesus' name I pray.